again, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, 8/8/18. That's the date today. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour, and we have had a tremendous show today. We thank the amazing Kreskin for coming on in hour number one to share his thoughts about what's going on with the TSA. And we also thank Orson Bean, a legendary actor who's in the new movie, The Equalizer, with Denzel Washington. So watch out for Orson Bean. Still out there getting it done. Now, there's only one guy who could follow Orson Bean and the amazing Kreskin on this great Wednesday afternoon. He has become one of my favorite guests. It has been too long since we've had him on. I cannot believe it's been since May. He really makes me laugh. Really makes me laugh. And as you know, when you are laughing, you cannot feel any pain or sadness because it's an involuntary motion. The guest, of course, I speak of is legendary comedian Shecky Green. Now, I'm going to save this, and I'm just going to bring him on because we're going to get the fun started. Hervé Villechaize's favorite co-star, Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
Hey, Winter Tellers, don't make fun of me because I'm small. Don't make me, I want to tell you, don't make fun of me. Now, a few people all over Ohio, whether it's red, whether it's blue, who's going to win? I'm asking you. They both are tied. The Democrats and Republicans, you know. I want to vote, but I don't know. Okay. Wait, why don't they both get in?
Well, the vote right now stands that it looks like the Republican won. He's ahead by about 1,000 votes, but the other side is challenging it, so who really knows?
Well, I mean, it means that if our friend, the president, won.
You know, the president came to Ohio last Saturday, 45 minutes away from where this studio is, and he did invite us to come, but I was busy that day.
I forgive me, Ohio, but I'm not too friendly with him.
No, but that's the truth. He on Friday he sent us an invite. You know, you have to be approved by the Secret Service and all that, White House Office of Communications. But it was such short notice. I had other plans and I couldn't make it. But yeah, so it's good.
Well,
to be
can
known.
I tell you something? You just hit it right on the head. With him, they got the Secret Service. Nobody knows about it. They're going to keep it a secret.
Well, you know what I didn't understand was, I didn't ask anybody because I didn't want to ruffle the White House, but he doesn't like the media, so why was he inviting us?
That's right. You know why? Forgive me. Ladies and gentlemen of Ohio, forgive me, but he really doesn't know what he wants. Can I tell you something? He's a little confused.
It might be. Well,
I hope one day he loses his comb and his brush. I want to see all of the hair down.
You know, I'm confused because the night before you come to Ohio, you probably don't want to be knocking LeBron James, who just opened a school here.
Could I tell you something? They want stuff from athletes, and there's a magnificent man. Could I tell you, God made him 10 feet tall for a reason. And I mean, to knock LeBron James, it's just unbelievable.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, LeBron is leaving our team to come play for your team out there in California.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so you'll have
I mean, automatically, you know they're going to win.
You do.
I mean, there's no question that the Lakers will win.
Well, that whole thing was interesting because the president tweeted, you know, that Don Lemon on CNN had a low IQ, or he was the dumbest man on television, I think is what he called him.
Oh, and that's one of my favorites.
And then he called LeBron, and he said he made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. And then he said, I like Mike, which of course was about Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan released through a statement that he supports LeBron James and thinks what he's doing is great. So there you go.
But let me tell you something. Here's a man that says couldn't. I mean, remember that? Whether it was could or whether it was couldn't that he said.
Yes.
And the things that he admits that he doesn't read, that he just watches television, and he's got the nerve to call somebody else dumb?
Well, it's interesting, Shecky, because the last time we spoke was late May. We haven't spoken since the Putin-Trump summit. What did you make of that?
So, I didn't get that. What did you say? I'm confused.
When Trump met with Putin and they had that little press conference over there.
Well, I talked to Putin.
Oh, okay.
I gave him a call, and I said, "Put, tell me what happened." Drotki mi jeha botki skaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaskaska Kyle, Robert Kyle, you are Donald. And I said, no kidding, you know. And he said to me, boy, keep secret what my neighbor did. I said to him, let's fool America and the world. Let's not say anything for an hour. We just sit, and everybody will want to know what we said.
You know, Shecky, the world is kind of crazy right now. What do you make of it?
The world?
Yeah, the world in general.
Well, could I tell you what's happening to the world little by little? First, we had the volcanoes in Hawaii. They haven't stopped. Now we got the fire in California. That hasn't stopped. Then we had Trump that went to Ohio. Evidently, he's not too fond of Ohio. He only stayed 20 minutes. But you're telling me about the world being... The world is insane.
Well, last time we spoke, we have something to bring up here. Last time we spoke was about Roseanne Barr and her comments about...
Oh, poor Roseanne. Yeah. And somebody's going to give her another television show. Why did she get lost already? That's it. You had a nice career. Save your money and get the hell out.
Well, the Conners, I guess, are coming back without her. And apparently she signed off on that to say she would not financially benefit from that.
Well, can I take... John Goodman's enough. John Goodman is a wonderful one. Just John Goodman. He's a wonderful... he's a great actor. He's a wonderful guy, and that's all I need. But I just don't understand today with the kind of news that we got. It's enough already that the thing came out with her, and that's it. And forget about it. That's it. And now what we call it's called next. The word next is used all over. If you go to a doctor and 20 people are sitting there, nobody has a name anymore. It's next. The girl comes on, says, next. 12 people get up at the doctor's office and go in.
Well,
give me an extra. Change my name. What they did to me is a dirty shame. Forgot Roseanne Barr. Get rid of her. She's no longer a star. Okay.
Well, I have a story to tell today because the guest who preceded you on today's program was Orson Bean. And Orson told me he has a message for you because he heard you were on today. He said when he was first starting out as a kid in Chicago, he opened at a club there. He couldn't remember the name of the club, but he got up on stage and did his comedy routine, and he thought he did pretty good. And when he got off, the owner said, "You're no good," and fired him and said he was bringing in Shecky Green.
Yeah, they always wait for me. They got me in the closet waiting for somebody to do bad. You know, then they yell, next, and here comes next again. But Orson Bean, that was Mr. Kelly's in Chicago on Rush Street.
Oh, you remember that incident.
Yes, I could tell you immediately. And Orson Bean was wonderful. Orson Bean was basically, he wasn't a pow-pow kind of comic like I am, like with me with the physical, you know. I'd tell a joke and I'd fall on the floor for an hour. And then the guy would say, the guy is still on the floor, as a doctor's coming in a minute.
So, Mr. Kelly, when this event took place, did he tell you, did he say, "And this Orson Bean was no good, we got to get you in here"?
No. I never had any really relationship with Orson. Matter of fact, I don't even think that I ever met him in person. I'd like to. I thought he was wonderful. He had a college way about him. He had the short crew cut and everything. He was wonderful, Orson.
Yeah.
He started a sort of a college type of humor.
Yes.
He was great.
He still is. You know, he does that baloney song. Have you ever heard this baloney song, Shecky?
No.
Oh, you'll have to hear that sometime. It's very funny, very fascinating.
Could I ask you something? How old is Orson Bean?
I believe Orson Bean is 89 or 90.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, he ought to travel together. Says if something happens to one of us, the other take over.
You know, I was just thinking, we had Kreskin, and we had Orson Bean, and we have you. I think the combined age today is about 300.
Oh, my God.
But everybody's good.
Yeah.
You know, radio.
Could I tell you something? Yeah. When they book the three of us in, they bring a doctor and a nurse, too.
Well, you know this. Radio has no age, because it's just voices.
Radio has what?
Has no age, because it's just talking.
Well, tell that to Marconi.
Well,
he's still trying to find a blue wire.
Well, you know.
I don't know. I make the radio. This is going to be something. But down the line, I want to tell you something. Somebody going to invent the TV, and they're going to forget the radio.
Now, Shecky, do you want to come up here and help them count the votes in Ohio? There might be.
Oh, my God, to count the votes. Could I tell you something? I just want to count one vote. Forgive me, Ohio. I just want to count one vote out, and that's my friend Trump. I told you I worked for him in Vegas. I mean, in Atlantic City.
Yeah, and you thought, what did you think about him at that time?
Well, my check never, you know, I could never cash my check.
He wrote
he
you
gave
a,
me a phony check.
He wrote you a phony check?
No, I'm joking. But I wish he would have.
Well, was he a nice person?
I never really met him.
Never really.
I mean, but I do remember one time that the place in Atlantic City, it didn't even have a roof. They hadn't finished the roof yet, and he was in construction. I guess they forgot the roof.
Well, Shecky, you know, we talk about all these clubs you played. You played in Chicago, Mr. Kelly's. You were in New York. We were at the same hotel at one point next to Carnegie Hall. What were some of those club days like? What were those club days like when you played?
Well, forgive me, folks, if I keep on saying what, remember I'm 92. The right ear doesn't work too well.
It's live. It's okay.
Okay.
Those clubs, what were the club days like?
Well, you see, you became a well-known, I can't say the word star. I never liked the word star. You know, I don't know whether I quite made that, although I did headline a lot of places. But when you went to certain clubs, you knew you made it. If you made the Shapri in Chicago, you made it. If you made the Copacabana in New York, you made it. That's the way you judge your career. The television wasn't as popular at that time. And then from the clubs that you worked, the Shapri, the other place, they would book you to a talk show, and that was it. Going on the Steve Allen show, going on the Jack Parr show, you know, and then little by little. But the clubs, you know, and they say, he worked at Shapri. Yeah, he worked it three times. Yeah, what happened? He couldn't remember what he said the first time.
You know, Shecky, what I always wonder with these clubs, they say back in those days, the 40s and 50s and 60s, that there was a lot of crime, mob influence. Did you find that?
Oh, I was sponsored by them. Are you kidding? I worked a place in the Golden Hotel in Reno, and they owned it. The guys from Chicago and everything owned it. And I didn't realize that till I met Sam Giancana. You know, I became one of his favorites.
Oh, you were,
you know,
Giancana's.
But first of all, he had to give me a 32. I had to learn how to use a 32 to be with him. And I had to learn to talk like this. Hello, folks. I'm going to do a lot of funny jokes for you.
What was
that? But, yes, They own most of the nightclubs. They own the one in New York. They Frank Costello and these guys, and they own the nightclubs.
What was Sam Giancana like?
Well, to me, he was wonderful. I had a situation with one of his guys. I can't mention his name. I wouldn't mention it because the family may still be living. So anyway, I had a thing with him, and the guy said I owed a lot of money from betting horses, which I didn't do. So we were sitting at the Singapore restaurant in Chicago, and Sam called me over with these three guys, you know. And he said, I'm going to ask you one thing. Do you owe us money? Do you owe $4,000? Well, the most I ever bet was $10. There was no way of me owing $4,000, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, Sam. I said, Sam, I don't, and I looked this guy right in the eye. This guy, believe me when I tell you, he looked at me, for he didn't need a gun or a knife. He looked at me, and that was going to kill me. But I said, Sam, I take a note. Now, the owner of the place was an ex-cop that owned the Singapore restaurant. And he came over, and he said, listen, I'm with Shecky all the time. Shecky don't bet that way, you know? So Sam said to the guy, apologize. The guy said, what? He said, I tell you to apologize. He's a Jewish kid, I apologize. And that's a true story. I got more of those stories. Could I tell you something? I should have lived with Al Capone.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Sam Giancana, I was watching a show the other night, and they talked about how JFK was dating his girlfriend, and...
I met her.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I was with them in Reno. Are you kidding?
Oh, talk. What's the story?
Nothing. When I saw Sam, that's really when I knew Sam for years, but that was the first time we really got together. Because I was really, in those days, in this particular hotel, I was good, the Golden Hotel. So they held me over 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know. And then he did, began with a J. Julie? No, not Julie. What was her name again?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll look that up, though.
Okay. And that's right on Judy, I think. Anyway, I met her, and then when that thing was set with Kennedy and everything, I was all excited. Look at me. I got to know this whole history of this stuff. I never learned anything good. It was always about hoodlums and this and that.
Yeah, Judith Exner.
Judith. Yeah.
And she, now, did you know she was having an affair with the president?
No. How would I know it? She's having one with Sam. I mean, the president had a lot of guts to have with Sam's girlfriend.
Well, see, that's the show I was watching because they said a likely suspect to have killed JFK was Sam Giancana because of this whole thing going on.
No.
Wrong.
Sam never killed Kennedy.
Somebody said that. I'm trying to remember who said...
Well, they said a lot of things in those days. Are you kidding?
Oh, I know what it was. The reason
they said Mussolini killed Hitler.
Well, they said that because apparently before Giancana was supposed to testify before the Warren Commission, somebody broke in his house and shot him to death.
Well, they didn't walk in the house. He opened up the door and they shot right away. I keep on hearing when he was shot in the back and that this and that. He opened the door and that was it. And, of course, I wasn't there. I wasn't invited to that one.
Oh, poor Sam.
But you know what's funny? I was with those people all the time. I could have been killed. It's strange that with the things that you think about when you go back on your life and say, my God, I was there at that time and I was there at this time, you know.
Now, at that time, did you think Sam Giancana was trouble? Did you say, boy, I shouldn't be palling around with this guy?
No, because I really didn't know that about Sam. I mean, he was in charge, but I really didn't know. They own these places that I worked. like when this is a true story. I worked for them at the Golden Hotel. They signed me. They came and they signed me, and they said, "Don't work any other, but we'll tell you where to work." Well, I went from the Golden Hotel to Lake Tahoe, which is about 30 miles away. I went to work in Lake Tahoe. They came up and took my contract in front of me and tore it up in front of me and threw it in my face. And they said, "We told you not to work any place. This is too close to Reno."
Mm. See, there was no fooling around with those guys.
Oh. And yet, you know, they were a joke to me. That's a terrible joke. Now I could say they were a joke to me because it's enough time, I think.
Well, Shiki, there's two things. We've got 25 minutes here, and I want to get into what I talked to Amazing Kreskin about earlier on. But there's two things I want to tick off before we get to that area, because I think when you talk to Shiki Green, these are two great stories. Now, the first one is the green room. Now, we have discovered, whether it's true or not, who cares? But the green room that people see, you know, wait in the green room before you go out on the show,
yeah,
was named for you because of an incident with Ed Sullivan. Tell that story.
Right here, Shiki. I want you to sit down there and tell me all of your stuff. I did the things that I did that he didn't like, so then he had this room that I went to, and he wanted me to do my whole act. I said he had no sense of humor. Was imagine doing your act or whatever you're going to do in front of Ed Sullivan. I mean, better I read the menu at the restaurant.
So he
that would have been funny. Ed, right here, hamburger with cheese. Is Chucky? Is that American cheese or Swiss cheese?
And he thought that you purposely were trying to do him in. This is why this happened.
Well, no, I never rehearsed anything, and I never wrote anything until the end, you know, and that's when he all of a sudden wanted to know what the comics were going to do. But I don't know whether mine with the green room or not. I just surmised when they called it the green room. I gave myself credit for that.
Well, I buy it, because he made you wait in there before the show, right?
Oh, you get tied up by three guys.
Sam G.
He called Sam G. O'Connor and told him, "Listen, I'm having trouble with Shiki."
Well, now tell me, because you were on Ed Sullivan a lot. A typical Ed Sullivan introduction would be what for you?
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I was in Las Vegas, and I saw this comedian. Now I want to introduce to you, for the first time before the public, what is that word, public? Chucky, what is his name? Chucky. And I came out, thanks, Ed. I never couldn't find myself on television. I wasn't good on the Sullivan Show. I wasn't good on this show. Matter of fact, I don't even know how I got in show business.
Well, that's not true at all, because you...
Yeah,
are,
it is.
No.
I somewhere along the line, I miss movies. They never used Shiki Green. They wanted somebody else. But I did. I was a character actor, and that's what I was. Like Akim Tamarov. "I don't provoke, don't make me. I want to go to the high mountains, and I want to kill you." Not that type of thing I should have done.
Well, just for the audience's edification, we know what would happen before Ed Sullivan. We know then you would go on and perform, and when you would come off stage, he would have a little consultation with you then as well, would he not?
Oh, no, he chased me all over. Everything I did was bad. He told me I lost him Canada when I talked about a mine disaster. And they really had a mine disaster in Nova Scotia. "Shiki, you just lost me Canada." Good. So I really didn't like him that much, so I went on the following week and lost him Europe.
Now, audience out there, I want you to catch your breath for a second, because this next part of the program is deemed. I deem this. This is stamped and filed with the Library of Congress, the funniest talk show story in the history of talk shows. It's the time that Shecky Green was booked for a guest appearance on Fantasy Island. Take it away, Shecky.
At Fantasy Island, and I was late, and they were all waiting. When I got to the set, they were all waiting for me, and this little guy came up to me and gave me a kick in the leg. I want to tell you something. We were waiting for you. What do you think you are? You think you're a star? Okay. So then I had trouble. This little guy who was after me for the whole time. Village, and I met his wife, and she brought me a cup of coffee. He came up to me. He said, "I want to talk to you. You don't talk to my wife. That's my wife. I don't want you to go near her." And he just had a thing for me, you know. But I mean, how long will it take to beat up a 2'4" guy?
Now, didn't he threaten you with a gun?
I only use my left arm, my left head.
Now, didn't he at one point threaten you with a gun?
Oh, yeah, he told me. He said, "I want to tell you something. You know, I have a gun, and I want to tell you I use it." And he did use it, because later on he went to kill, he ended up killing himself with the gun. He had four guys hold it for him, because it was too heavy for him.
So
it was about the size of a cigarette lighter.
Oh, my Lord. Now,
you know what? Let me tell you something. In our business, forgive me, folks, for saying it. In our business, there's some wonderful, wonderful, magnificent people. Then in our business, there's some strange people like Roseanne Barr. Forgive me, Roseanne, but you are a little. You admit that you're crazy. I also have the same problem you do. I think it's a Jewish disease. It's called be successful and yet hate it.
Well, just to put a little tag on that Fantasy Island story, the star of Fantasy Island was Ricardo Montalban. Now he saw
who happened to be one of the greatest, sweetest men in the world.
And he saw this whole incident with you and Hervé, and he pulled you to the side.
He said, "Jackie, I want to tell you something." He said, this is a strange man. This little man is a strange man. So don't let anything he does bother you. You know what I mean? He had that wonderful South American way of talking. And I says, "Well, you know, what does he want from me?" He said, he's very excitable. He comes from that part of the country where they have volcanoes. And if you really look close, you can see little villages going up and down from the volcano. Excuse me. I could just picture that.
I thank the good Lord that Hervé never worked the Golden Hotel when Sam Giancana was there.
Oh, could I tell you how long? He would have been an appetizer. He would have been before they used a regular killing.
he would have been the
priest. Could I tell you something? Could you imagine a village chase working for Sam Giancana? Oh, my God. It's saying to Sam Giancana, "All right, bring the rest of those midgets in from the Wizard of Oz. Where'd you get this guy?"
And
I'm the leader of the Wizard of Oz, the Wizard of Oz, the Wizard of Oz. My name is Villache.
Now, do you think Hervé would not have put up with that, though? Would he have? He had a hair trigger temper.
Oh, can I tell you something? He was successful with the Good Wars. The man was nuts. Let's face facts. I mean, we're talking about somebody we shouldn't be wasting our time. The man was just nuts, and they got lucky with the little guy.
But
you know,
but
if it was a regular sized guy that said, "Look at the plane," you wouldn't have looked. And he couldn't even lift his head that high to look at the plane. The plane, boys. The plane. The plane, boys. You know.
Well, the reason we talk about this is because you and I are anxiously waiting for the HBO film My Dinner with Hervé, which is...
Oh, you keep telling me about this
well,
movie coming out.
Well, yes, it's being made by HBO Films, It has a whole thing. Producers, and Hervé Villechaize is the star.
What sane human being would put out something about this little guy? Could I ask you something?
HBO.
I just don't believe it. My God.
I want to just say, here's what it says. It says, Peter Dinklage and writer-director Sacha Gervaisi spent several years writing and producing a film based on the final days of actor Hervé Villechaize, who committed suicide shortly after his 1993 interview with Gervaisi. Dinklage will star...
Who interviewed him?
This Gervaisi. Sacha Gervaisi.
I think my phone is going again. Every time I talk to him, my phone goes out.
Well, the film was okayed by HBO, and it started production last year, so it will be out, My Dinner with Hervé.
I can't believe it. I'll tell you, we live in a strange world.
What?
Do you know what? Hervé and Trump went to the same school, I think.
Well, Shecky, one thing I wanted to talk to you about was what I talked about with Kreskin earlier. It's that TSA is getting ready to get rid of all the security measures at small airports. 150 to small, medium-sized airports. They're going to do away with the security screening.
They're going to do away with the security?
Yeah, at small to medium-sized airports. It'll save them $115 million a year.
Well, you know what? I don't think we could tell by what's happening in this whole world that they really don't know from day to day what they're going to do. I mean, if they're going to do that, then that won't work. Then they'll put that back. That'll be another billions of dollars that way. But we really don't know. With all the security, with all the magnificent things, look what happened in these schools. Look what happened in these...
Uh-oh. I think Shecky's phone might have died out there. I think the phone might have went. Holy moly. I hope Shecky did not fall down. I tell you what we are going to do. We are going to take a quick break here and try to get Shecky Green back on the line. Oh, catch your breath. We're having a good ram today. Stay tuned. We're going to be back momentarily with Shecky Green. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Steve Boom Boom Cannon, and as the king of trivia, I've got a question for you. Where can you find great talk, open phone lines, and celebrities every day? Now with Scott Spears on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP. We're in Marion, Ohio. Call him at 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
From 12:10 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. We're having fun every day from 1 to 3 p.m. on Now with Scott Spears right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
or professional wrestler and movie star Ox Baker.
I want to tell you, listeners of the WWGH, this is Ox Baker. Man, hi, I know you listen to WWGH. You better start listening.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunaway, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, 1 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM, the place to be.
50 minutes past the hour, and we have reconnected with Shecky Green. Shecky,
I hope. We may go out. Well, but that's the way it was with my clubs. I thought the microphone went out on me.
No, it was good. Shecky, so we were talking about Hervé Villechaize and plane trips and Ed Sullivan, but you don't think this dinner, my dinner with Hervé, will be a hit?
Who cares about this? I mean, what human being would be interested in this guy? I mean, what is it?
Well, you know, Dunkin' Donuts gave him commercials later in life. I think that's what he was doing up until he died.
Well, he died. They dunked him. When he died, they dunked him. They picked up little Hervé and they dunked him.
You know.
Hey, I want to tell you, don't do that to me. I want to tell you, and don't make a hole in the middle. There's Hervé there with a hole in the middle, the hole in the middle, the hole in the middle. There's a little guy with a hole in the middle. Have a Dunkin' Donut. Okay.
You know, Shecky, you should have been in those commercials. They should have called you.
Could I tell you something? There was something, maybe the name or something, there was something about, I had an almost career. You know, some, do you know, Shecky? Yeah, I saw him once. I think he was good. I think.
Well,
I got a lot of I thinks.
Now, did you release a lot of records in your career, record company?
No. You know something? That's a funny thing about Bob Newhart. There was a guy that I went to school with who was a disc jockey in Chicago, and he released that Bob Newhart, made Bob Newhart big. I forget his name, and I want to forget his name because he and I did not get along.
Well, see, there's still time for you, Shecky. You're still funny. You're still together. You're still extemporaneous. You still have time to do this sort of thing.
Oh, you'd be surprised, son. I tell you, you know, when you get to a certain age, you just crawl to the television set, you know, and see what you're not going to like. Turn on something I'm not going to like.
Well, let me ask you these two questions, Shecky. Now, if somebody came today and they said, Shecky, because I've heard a lot of stand-up comics say that in the age of Trump, it's a great time to be a comedian. If somebody said, where you are, said, hey, can you come up and do a set tonight, would you do it?
Oh, sure.
Well, there you
I
go.
I mean, it's not, I don't know what a set is. That's what those young guys and everything they call, I wrote a set, or I did a, I don't know what that means. I just know to get up, tell a joke, and so and so and so. But my creativity is still there because that's the way I talk.
Now here's
you know, if I have a bagel in the morning, I say, lox in the bagel in the morning, lox in the evening. You know, I've got to make something up out of it.
Well, here's another thing. If somebody called you, Orson Bean is in this new Denzel Washington movie, and I know they're redoing Murphy Brown, and Roseanne's gone from the Conners now. If somebody said, Shecky, we want you to come in and guest star, would you do it?
Would I do it?
Yes.
I don't know. You know, I really don't know, Scott.
Well, see, here's what I have figured, because I hear...
Hold on. Yes, go ahead.
Here's what I think. Murphy Brown is coming back to television. Did you watch much of that when it was on the original run?
No, yeah, I watched it when I happened to watch it. I mean, if I turned it on, and I thought it was great, you know, and I loved her. I always loved her because I knew her father.
Well, here's what I think. She's in...
It's because Tom's going to start to go out again with his phone.
Oh, my. Well, we're going to try to get this in.
Hello?
Yes, are you still there?
I'm going out again with this phone.
Okay. Do you have another...
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
He can hear, honey. Let's put it on speaker.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, now don't...
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, she got it on speaker now.
All right. Well, see, we thank you.
I've lived there with her for a long time. I still don't know how anything works.
Well, we thank your wife for intervening there because we're having a good time.
All right.
Now, here's what I believe. Murphy Brown is coming back to television, and Tyne Daly, I think, is in this show as well. I think they should call you, and they should...
What's her name?
Tyne Daly.
Oh, we didn't get along.
You didn't get along with her?
No, I only saw her once, and she got up and she moved away from me. We went to see Keeley Smith, and I was talking, and she didn't like it, and she got up and walked away.
Well, see, here, I think you should play the president of the network in this new Murphy Brown show. I think that would be perfect.
No, I don't want that. I'd rather watch it.
Yeah, well, apparently it's going to be very anti-Trump, is what I understand.
Anti-Trump?
Anti-Trump, yes.
Now, why would they put on something after he's been on 2 years and everything, anti-Trump? I mean, I don't see any sense to that. You know, let me say something to you, and I want to say, there was a man in New Orleans. His name was Huey Long. Hello?
Yes.
And now you're too young to remember Huey Long. Huey Long was killed by a lawyer. He was going to run for president of the United States. He was completely, and I don't want to, because I'll be sued. He was completely wacko. Now, Trump is the closest thing. Now, I haven't heard any human being in the world say about Huey Long the difference between these two or the similarity of these two. Huey Long, let people know about Huey Long and Trump.
Well, see, this is interesting because I just got this off the wire here. Apparently, they taped the first episode of Murphy Brown last week in front of an audience, and they say they have a big guest star for the first episode back, which will air September 27th on CBS. Now, a show that's about a newswoman, and they bring real people onto the show that's going to be very anti-Trump. Who do you think the guest star will be? I have my guess.
Who the guest star? Do you know who the guest star will be?
No, they just say it's a huge person, a real person, a real political person. I think I know who it is.
Well, I there's so many people there. I know it's got to be an actor.
Well, I think it's a politician.
Could it be Biden?
It could be. That's a good guess. My guess is Hillary.
I don't think so.
You don't think she would do a show?
I'll tell you why. If Hillary hasn't said anything up to now, you haven't heard one thing, no matter how they knock her and how they do, she hasn't involved herself in one thing. I don't know what she's waiting for, and I don't know why her wonderful husband hasn't taken everything that was said about her and everything and said something. I haven't heard him, this moron, say anything about him knocking Hillary. So it will definitely not be Hillary.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who it is, because that will bring the show back, and I'm sure Donald Trump will not like the show, so there'll be a whole big thing there when it comes.
Well, he likes and he doesn't like. He hates. He doesn't know. Well, people don't understand, and I got a little bit of psychosis and neurotic and psychedelic, whatever you want to say. I got a lot of that in me. That's what makes me, in thinking about the kind of humor I have. But I have a lot of what Trump has got in him. One minute I could be happy, the next minute. But Trump is not a well man. He is not a well man.
Well, I think things...
And those people that are still and in his base are not well either.
Well, it's interesting. The good thing is that over in England, that marriage came off okay.
In England, the marriage?
Yeah, it came off good. They acted proper over there.
Which marriage?
Harry and Meghan.
Well, we haven't. It hasn't gone yet. Well, I mean, I don't think they've been to bed yet.
You don't think?
No, he said that, you know, can I tell you, Meg, do me a favor, take that damn wedding dress off. She says, I'd like to take it off. She says, Eddie, the only problem, I don't know, where are all the buttons and the zippers? call my mom, and my mom is my grandmom, and she'll help you take it off.
You know,
can I tell you something that's funny to me? Certain voices, like the being from the Midwest, like if you go with a girl from New York, forgive me, New York. Listen, I want to say something, Shucky. I love you very much. Honest to God, the first time you kissed me, you know, I can't see living the rest of my life with that. Or somebody says, hello, Robin, I'm very fond of you. Yes, hell, God, shall we wed? Oh, I'm getting married in the morning. You know, those kind of voices and relationships. I am going completely nuts.
No, Shecky, we got 2 minutes here.
My wife is yelling in the back, you're nuts.
Oh, that's good. If this is nuts, then stay nuts all the time. You know what a pet peeve of mine is lately? Every time I go to the grocery store and I'm in the aisle, I read these tabloids and just the covers. And any time a celebrity's over 90, like Betty White, last days, sad last days. What is with this? Everybody gets over 90. Sad last days.
The last days?
Yeah, they're always last days.
Well, the printer has got that already made up, you know, so they use it. But that's what they expected to happen. That's what's going to happen to them next. So before the next edition, they put it on the last day. So if the next edition comes out and it says, see, we told you so.
Oh, you know, I have a parting question here, Shecky. Did Ed Sullivan have any ties to the mob that you were aware of?
No, absolutely none. He would never. Absolutely not. He would never, never, never. He may have known him and he met him through the years because of the McGuire sisters he met, and Sam may have been around at that time. But no, absolutely not. He wouldn't even know what to do with them. Shecky, right here we're bringing out a mob. Three guys, they sing very good. It's called I'm Gonna Kill You, You're Gonna Die. We're on Ed Sullivan and I'll tell you why, okay.
and they would follow Topo G. Joe.
Topo, hello Ed, I like you Ed. He liked that voice, he liked the Topo G. I want to tell you Ed, I want to kill you. Then he was kissing that puppet. He got all of that stuff in his mouth.
Oh, but, go ahead.
Now, could I tell you, when you look bad at all, let's just laugh. I laugh at the people that make stars, what we call stars. I just sit here laughing. They took me away twice last week laughing.
Now, can you imagine if Ed Sullivan had been around when Roseanne Barr came on the scene as a stand-up?
Oh, well, he would never have her on.
He wouldn't have her on.
He may have, and then that would have lasted one time.
What would he have said to her?
Roseanne, I want to tell you, I don't like the stuff you do. Now, I heard that you did not like your father, and I don't like girls that do not like their father. She had all kinds of things. She was Jewish. She wasn't Jewish. I hate my father. I love my father. Who cares about these people?
Did Ed Sullivan have any hobbies?
I just tore up my biography. Would you believe that?
You tore it up.
Yeah, I didn't want to read that stuff.
No, it was good. Oh, my God. There are two things in the world I know that are for sure. The sun comes up in the morning, and when you have Shecky Green on, it's a day off because you're going to laugh and you're going to have fun. Shecky, I am just always in your debt, and I can't thank you enough every time you come on, and I hope you keep coming on.
Well, I bless you, and I bless everybody. And listen, Ohio, don't hate me because of my political beliefs. You know, if you want, I'll change. Doesn't take much for me to change. Give me a couple of bucks and that's it.
The amazing Shecky Green. Thank you, Shecky.
Thank you. Say hello to Kreskin and say hello to Mr. Bean.
I will do so. Thank you, Shecky.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Shecky Green. Oh, I'm out of wind. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Street in the lower level of the Belltone building. Thank you so much for playing fair.